Yep.
I do.
English. Button.
So do I. That was on my other jacket.
Must have got there early. Mine are Spanish and Somali.
Like, yeah, I got light. All of them.
Oh, do you?
Oh, you have a bunch of those.
Yeah, I have Halloween candy, too, if anybody needs any.
I'm going to have plenty. All right. You ready?
Yep.
Let's call the meeting to order. Is there any public comment? Let's go to amending ordinance number 463, rural service district land designation.
Mr. Chairman, the item that was originally sent out was missing one page. A revised copy has been downloaded, but I'm not sure if it's come through to your tablets yet. So if it has not, I've included an extra page here tonight, which has some more verbiage on the original ordinance. What this ordinance does is it creates two different service districts in the community. One an urban, it's called an urban service district. The other one's a rural service district. This has been brought to our attention by the county auditor now that the Kennewick County has taken over the assessing work. So they brought it to our attention two factors, and the only item we're asking you to take action on tonight is to add some additional sections to the rural service district. The second item that we will be dealing with at a later meeting, later in this year or early part of next year, will be dealing with the rural service district rate, which is what they were most concerned about. But we're working with the Community Development and Planning Office to evaluate the number of parcels, which parcels qualify, and those types of things. So tonight, this ordinance, what we're asking you to do is authorize the city attorney to draft an ordinance for your review, which would add the sections, let me get the page number for you. There's a section listing a bunch of new sections of property that have been annexed since the original ordinance. These sections are primarily city-owned properties dealing with the municipal airport since we relocated it originally outside the city limits, but that has been since annexed in, and the waste treatment plant, which again has been annexed in. Page six lists those sections. It also removes some parcels that were in rural service districts that have been developed. That's the first section on that page.
Mm-hmm.
They've since been developed, so those need to be removed. The next sections that list there in Township 119 includes areas that the college owns directly east and north of 15th Avenue Southwest. It's between Oslo Heights and the center.
The Campus Religious Center.
Mm-hmm. There's an area in there that is Section 4. The Section 8 is the area that is north of the Triumphant Life Church in the trailer park on the west side of the community. 18 and 19 is the airport. 26 is the Home Depot area, Nelson property. 27 is the MUC and the Jansen property west of Menards. Township 120, Section 35, I'm not sure why they would have included that. I do not have property that I know that's up by the Eagles Landing area, but there's no tillable land there, so.
It was at one time tillable land.
So it does no harm to leave it in there. It would only qualify if the land is 10 acres or more and is agricultural, so. When we come back at a later date on the percentage, we may ask to have that revised. So I would recommend just leaving it in there until we can get an answer on it.
There could be a piece.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Section 36 is the school area by the wind towers and that whole area. Township 119, Range 36 in St. John's Township, 11 through 14 is the airport. 23 is the waste treatment plant, and 24 is the airport. So they're all city-owned properties. So the action we're looking for tonight is to authorize the city attorney to draft an ordinance to include these properties in the rural service district.
I'll introduce that motion.
Second.
somehow I think we need to have an understanding a little bit of what this means.
Okay.
This rural service district, so we get it in the minutes, mm-hmm. so that people will know what we're talking about.
The ordinance that you have in front of you was 463. 483 was included. That was dealing with changing the rate. And as I mentioned earlier, we will not deal with that tonight. That'll come back at a later date. We're doing some analysis on that. But what it does is it creates two districts, as I mentioned, one an urban service district, one a rural service district. The concept behind that was that within a community, the rural service district or agricultural land does not receive the same level of services that an urban or a residential or a commercial properties do, in that they may not, you know, see police protection or fire protection, or they don't get the same level of services. So they created a rural service district rate, which is a percentage of the city's rate. And it's different in different counties, different cities. The cities in Candiota County, each city has a different rate set, I believe, probably by the city. I know in talking with Administrator McGuire that there are some counties that have a city or a countywide rural service rate that's applied uniformly throughout the county. So we hope to talk with the county about maybe going to that type of rural service rate that's consistent throughout the county. I know some cities look at surrounding townships and they mirror it so that properties that are on the fringe mm-hmm. are paying the same rate as a property that may be adjoining to it. So that's one concept. And those are things that we'll be looking at. But the primary purpose, again, was to have two different rates for a community for agricultural land versus developed land. And that was with the concept that they're getting levels of service that are different than what the city's taxing them for.
Do we have any rate for platted land, or because that could just be sitting there and not receiving any city?
Well, this does address it, and that's why earlier I questioned the one parcel that has been provided to me by the city clerk about a number of parcels, and they're individually parcels that are being farmed that I believe don't qualify for a rural service district because they're platted and it's addressed in the ordinance. It talks about that. If it's developed, if there's a length of time, I think this ordinance has been sitting on the books for so long it needs better review. And that's why we only brought to you tonight the request to add these sections.
Okay. I get the concept. It's the first time I've heard an explanation. Those places that are peripheral, that are butting up at the edge of the city. We need 10 acres have to be considered platted within the city to be eligible for a rural service district?
Well, some of these parcels that are listed is adjoining to property, that some inside, some outside. And so cumulatively, they're over 10 acres.
So technically, you could have an acre within the city and then qualify under a rural service district for the city of Willmar?
Under the parcels that have been given to me, yes.
And what's the service like for the county for that property outside of the city?
It would be the township that they're in, whatever rate they would be. Now, some of the other things that I've discussed with the planning office is the valuation of agricultural land in the city is valued at a higher value per acre than possibly adjoining agricultural land, and so net result might be the same. Those are things that we're going to look at and analyze. I mean, there was 101 parcels that were given to me that are agricultural or would qualify for the rural service district in the city of Willmar at a value of $13.5 million. That's an average of $13,500 per acre, where I'm not sure what ag land is valued at in Willmar Township.
Right.
And so there's other issues that we want to analyze and review to update this ordinance as far as the rate goes.
So for now, go ahead, Audrey.
So I'm curious, the motion we're making though is for our city attorney to draft an amendment to add the ones that were given to us by the county, correct?
Yes.
But all these other changes that you're talking about, we're not going to deal with that now?
Not tonight. We'll bring that back to the committee at a later date.
So who's going to work on those recommendations to do those kinds of things?
Yep. I think you're upstairs.
I'll go that way.
The planning office and the finance office are working jointly.
To do that?
Yes.
Because so you'll, okay.
Yeah,
so
we wanted to have their input as far as what kind of impacts. It does not increase the tax dollars generated. It just redistributes it more into the agricultural. And in some of the discussions we had, it could have a negative impact. It could have a positive impact as far as requiring development earlier than what maybe would be the best timing, I guess, to say, at least.
Go ahead, Audrey.
There's some crossouts in this. Is this an old, or is there an updated, or was that just this another action or something on there? Or one property's been crossed out on the list on page 3?
Northwest quarter of section 10. Township 119.
Oh, this was the original ordinance.
Mm-hmm. So there's something that's been updated since then. That,
well, 483 updated ordinance 463. So I'm guessing.
Does it have an? Okay.
Well, this original ordinance is from 66, yeah. So a lot of stuff could happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure legislatively or just drawn through by, let's see, amendment ordinance, order 16 title and ordinance establishing.
It's hand-typed.
Right.
15%. No, ordinance 483 only dealt with the percentage, which we will be talking about. Section 5, inserting. So we would have to check to see if that.
Okay.
We'll have the city attorney review that.
Okay. All right. Anything else? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes. All right. Now we got an information piece.
Mr. Chairman, as directed by Councilman Ahman at the last council meeting, we've inserted the section of the city's comprehensive assessment policy dealing with agricultural land exemptions. Staff has no recommendation. We're looking for direction on I think the action at the meeting was to just bring it and start and review it again. So we're bringing it back just to inform the committee that this is what the section reads at this point. If there is direction, clear direction of what you want us to analyze or review, we'd be more than happy to do that.
I think it would be pertinent if you explained to the committee the fact that they're already being charged and are paying.
We have a couple examples of rural exemptions or deferments that have happened recently, that where properties are paying for and paying more than what the original deferment was. Example would be the junior or the middle school that was property just purchased from Hawkinson, and they paid more than what was originally deferred against it. We've had a request for some property also owned by Hawkinson south of 19th Avenue. They had requested, and the policy reads that the property pays the improvements at the time of the improvements or the current year, whichever is higher. And so at the time that the Hawkinsons sold the property to the high school or to the school district, they also asked for a compilation of what the cost would be for the improvements south of 19th Avenue. Those costs at that time were $184,000, and I apologize, I don't remember what the original price of the deferments were. They were in the resolution the council just passed. It was somewhat less than that. We've had a request, an information request, because there may be a potential sale there at this point, and the current costs for the improvements have been calculated at about $212,000. So they're up about $30,000 from even last year. So they are substantially more than what the cost of the improvements to put them in the property. The council also went on record to not defer improvements on the fringes if there's some agricultural land. Example would be on the north part of the community. I'm not exactly sure what the subdivision is called. It's on North First Street, north of the radio station. There's a...
south of you? You mean?
East of where I live. There's a tar road that leads over to... I apologize. I don't know what the subdivision. I don't remember. But the Olson family owns the property on the north side of the road. And the council, under this ag defer policy, if there's a road like that that butts, part of it is outside the city, part of it's inside the city, the developer or the petitioning parties have to pay 100% of the cost, and they don't defer that agriculturally anymore for those that are outside the city. So it only pertains to ones that are inside. The most recent ag deferment was on 12th Street Southeast, which was Bethesda and the Gesh property. The west half, or the east half of that, was deferred at the tune of about $118,000. So in most instances, the properties end up paying more.
When they pay.
When they pay, and that is when the properties are sold or developed.
The question we were talking about earlier that Mike brought up, we don't charge interest on that.
I don't believe we
do charge the higher rate.
Yeah, I'd have to verify that again. I apologize for not finding out, but I don't believe that they are charged interest.
Maybe you could put that in the minutes, Steve.
I will verify if they are or not.
And I don't see us taking recommending any changes or recommending staff to do anything unless somebody sees a need. Go ahead.
I'm not sure what the request was for, but are we doing something different than other communities in regard to this or not? Do you know?
We certainly could do an analysis and bring back a report as it compares to other communities.
I don't know that I'm requesting that. I'm just was trying to understand why we were being asked.
I think that's a reasonable
to do that.
That's a reasonable request.
Well, landowners are aware of this policy, I would assume.
There is an application process that they have to fill out annually to verify that it's still being used for agricultural purposes and that it meets the requirement of it being over 5 acres. And
they understand if they don't make application for that,
they don't get it.
It's very clear.
Yep, it's certified. Yep.
But I think Audrey brings up a good point. I think that's worth checking to make sure. Because I heard, now that you mentioned that, I heard a while back, a year or two ago, that we were different than what some farmers had experienced and around other cities. How they handled the
better or
the
worse,
deferments.
Whatever that.
Well,
means.
Of course, we were worse. But
I mean, there is the practice, and the city's got. I know of one example, a farm service elevator, where there was a request for services, be it a road, water, sewer, whatever, would qualify as an ag deferment, and again, the petitioning parties had to pay 100%, and then if and when the adjoining properties attached or participated, there's a payback after a certain amount of years to the original payees. I think that is a possibility as well.
I think what we're saying, maybe you can check and see what other cities are doing, and then we'll bring it back for information at a later meeting.
Yeah. A more important issue is as long as all parties are well aware of what the cost is and it's up front and you know how the process works, it's transparent. That's what I think I would look for. So it sounds like maybe our percents are way off, but I think the process sounds like it's what it should be.
The city sends out a letter with the application form to the property owners that have been granted the exemption to this point each year and asks them to if it still meets the qualifications.
So I don't know what we're investigating here, but more information's fine. But
yeah, I'm not interested in making any changes. I think just so that we fully understand. And
we'll request other communities and just bring back a report to the committee.
It was just another one of these things that seemed important at the time. I think that's why it came up. Is there anything else to come before the committee?
I'd move to adjourn.
Second.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Oh, look at